Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Let's see if we can get our singers started here.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, all the joys we share. What a rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive, heaven for that jubilee underneath the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall arrive. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we need our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems I almost seen on ends, all the saints are dead, rising for that jubilee, just ahead. In a twinkling of an eye, changes will to be, all the living saints who fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When we almost heavenly hosts will begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the wells will ring. Me and there will join the song when the nail shall be. Praise and cry through all alone, heaven jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Tempted and tried, where often they wander, and what should be though all the day long, while all others living about us, never most blessed, throw in the wrong. Father of no will know all about it. Father of no will understand why. Cherub, my brother, living a sunshine, will understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Father of love, we know all about it. Father of love, we understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, says our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Show us a road then seen as nothing, as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Father of love, we know all about it. Father of love, we understand why. Here are my brothers. Father, leaving us sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by when we see Jesus come in the glory, when he comes from his home in the sky. Then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father of love, we'll know all about him. Father of love, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Thank you, Brother Bobby. Sister Millie. Praise the Lord.
Some glad morning when the life is on my way to a home on God's Lesser Shore. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. Morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days are then, I'll fly away to a land where joy should never end. I'll fly away, oh, morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Sister Mary, she wore a golden crown. Sister Mary, she wore a golden crown. Sister Mary wore a golden crown. Ain't no jinx in Jesus' name. No hiding place down here. There's no hiding place down here, down here. There's no hiding place down here. Whether I'm to the rock to hide their face, the rock cried out, no hiding place. No hiding place down here. I wanna pitch my tent in the old campground. I'm gonna pitch my tent in the old campground. I'm gonna pitch my tent in the old campground. Give old Satan no less ground. No hiding place down here. There's no hiding place down here, down here. There's no hiding place down here. Well, they run to the rock to hide their face. The rock cried out, no hiding place, no hiding place down here.
Thank you, Sister Millie. Praise the Lord in song. Yes. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to take us deeper, Father, into the word and give us greater understanding. and a lot better meaning to help us to grow closer and stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we, Father, can find your kingdom while we are here yet on this earth. Now be with us, Father, throughout this afternoon. Guide us all tonight, keeping us safe, keeping us in health. And we're asking this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be taking a look this evening in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This morning, we was over in a little of 5 and 6. Now we're in 7. You know, we were talking this morning about a little bit about marriage. And I told you that sooner or later, we was going to be in the scripture where it tells us all about marriage. Well, we're here. We are here. Now, chapter 7 is a lengthy chapter. There's actually 40 verses to it. So we may not get through all of it. We'll see what the Holy Spirit has for us and where he takes us to. Because God's working with me too on another series that is going to take several services to get through. And that's on fear. All right. Beginning here with verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I not, the Lord. Speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in circumcision? In uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Or thou called being a servant, care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. I'm going to stop there, and we're going back up here now and see just where the Holy Spirit will take us. Just how deep and how much understanding he'll give us, because we are living in a day and a time to where we have gotten back to where the early church was having problems with the same thing. Only I believe that we are having more of it today than they was having it in that day and time. I don't think they was having too much of it, just a little bit. But it was more than the apostles wanted in the church, because it leads too many people astray, and just like it's done today. Millions and millions. This very subject has been leading to hell. Because they know very little about it. They've accepted it as being all right. He starts off here now, verse 1. He says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now, we're on the subject right now to where in this day and time, a lot of people don't believe that this subject should be brought up before man and woman both. That man shouldn't be talking to another woman about it, or a woman shouldn't be talking to a man about it. Well, God's talking about it, and he's talking to all of us. And he's being very, very plain about it. He's telling man not to touch a woman. You know, this touching of woman can lead you and I both into a depth of sin. A great depth of sin. Because touching that woman, or wanting to touch that woman even, leads you and I into that sin that is called either fornication or adultery. Depends on our situation at the time. And you know, we have so much of that going on around us today that a man really has to have
the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart and his faith standing strong to keep from either fornicating or adultery. That's something for us to think about, isn't it? And you know, I don't know what's going on out front, but something is. We got people walking around out there. No, out front. No, they're walking around out there. They don't come in. I don't know what they're up to. But anyway, now, when we come back here, we're told to have our own wives and our own husbands. Because not many men can be eunuchs. That's why God created both man and woman. He created man first, and then he seen that that was not good, and that he should have a helpmate. So he created and gave him a woman. I want everyone to excuse me for about 3 minutes. Things are going to be silent because I'm going to check something out.
We just keep walking.
Huh?
No.
You know, we are having service up here. What do you want? Come and join us. We're usually for a perfect place to meet.
Let them know we're having services and invite them in, but they're just using it as a place to meet out there because they're both getting ready to leave. All right, now as we get back with our service after being interrupted, because within this day and time, you never know what's going on, especially when they get out there running around your building. Now, we find here where Paul is telling the church that we're to have our own wives, and the women are to have their own husbands, and that we are to pay due benevolence. In other words, we are to love them. We are to love. A man is to love his wife even more than he does his mother and his dad. Now, we're commanded to love our parents, but our wife is to mean more to us than they. That's why the word tells us that we leave our mothers and dads for our wives and our husbands.
There is only one that comes in before our wife or our husband. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is to be first in all of our lives. And if he's not first in our lives, there's something missing. There's something else that we are in need of if we are going to enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. Now, here in verse 4, it says, the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. And we know that's so. Because let me tell you something. Your wife can go to aggravating you or being around you, loving on you. She can cause you to do things you hadn't thought about doing. And it works the same way, the other way. That's why we don't have just all the power to ourselves. Our young people today, they call when they go out and doing things that really they shouldn't be doing, they call it making out. Now that making out will put power over another person. And most everybody that is an adult knows this. Now they don't think about it because that's part of the world. It comes from a lot of worldly things, but still, they may know that it's in the Word, but they don't really give it thought. And we need to be thinking about the commandments of God and all of them continually to the point that they are in our heart and we don't forget them. Now, said, defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. There's a whole lot right there in that one verse. Because it's telling you and I not to use our sexuality over the other one, to withhold it, to get them to do things for us. And this happens an awful lot in our marriages today. Especially, and we'll get on you, especially among the women. Woman's got something she wants her husband to do. She's going to see he does it if she withholds sex to get it done. And we're not to do that. That's called defraud. Now, yes, if I'm getting ready to fast and pray for something, then I need to get with my wife and come to an agreement. I'm not doing this to hurt you. I'm not doing this to cause you any problems. I'm doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ, so I can talk with him and walk with him for this period of time. And then we can come together again. But a lot of them ain't doing that, It's you going to do things my way, or fella, you going to do that. Now, you see, this is where a lot, and especially And I got one sitting here listening to me right now that really wants to watch what she says to me because I'm of the opposite sex. She says, I don't want to say this out loud to you because it ain't good. But you know, if it's used in God's word, it's all right to use it and to warn. Now, because if we don't, nobody's ever going to know what the Word of God is telling about sexuality and about our way of life, because there's a lot of things that we think is wrong to share with the opposite sex that's really not. If it's done in the right way and for the right reason. Now, verse 6. He says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Now, this wasn't God's commandment, but it is something that he had warned Paul about. So Paul is sharing it with you and I. That's like he talks to all of us children of his. He'll talk to us in dreams. He'll talk to us by vision. Or he'll talk to us with that still small voice in the heart. But what he'll share with you and I, we are to share with others. So they'll know. That's why it is given to you and I. Because you see, God's way of working on the earth today is through mankind. He's not here. The Lord Jesus Christ, which was here upon the earth and was doing these things and teaching, he went back to heaven. He's not here personally in the flesh. So he's using mankind to work through. That's why he told you and I that he needed to go back to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit back to you and I. And now we have all of the Godhead living inside of us if we are born again. Now, there are those out there that claim to be born again that are not. They've been deceived. They're not living by the Word of God because they really don't have an understanding of it because of wrong teaching. Now, he goes on here in 7, he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. He's talking about now about himself because Paul at this time was single. We don't know whether he was widowed or what, but we do know he's single. And he was wishing, really, that all men would be like him, single. But he knows that all men can't live that kind of life, just as God knew that when he made us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Here, my life. I met my first wife. She was a blind date for me. when I came back from overseas. I was still uniformed, still in the Army. In fact, I had just re-enlisted. I had come home after 4 years being gone, three of that in Korea. My aunt run around with my wife. They were good friends. And they'd go places. And when I would write home and send pictures of things home, they was always shown to her, to her friend. And they had gotten together, along with my mother and dad, and they had made it up that the day I got home, they was going to celebrate by going out to a place with music and dancing and a beer. I'm being honest with you. That's all the plan. I got in about 3 o'clock that evening. I started to get out of uniform. Mom and Dad told me, said, no, we're going out. Well, they did. Wasn't telling me the whole thing, because it's supposed to be a surprise, all of it. And they's all in on it. After I said, well, where are we going? Oh, we're going out and have a beer. My dad was not a drinker. He'd drink a beer, and that was it. And it'd take him usually 3 hours to get it down. But we started out from the house, and we're going in the wrong direction. Because at the time, we was living up right out, the other, just the other side of Cosmosdale, the Earth Valley Station. And we headed south to Meade County. At that time, Meade County was dry, and I'd been told we was going after a beer. I asked him, well, where are you going? Well, we told you we're going after a beer. Well, you're going to be going a long way after it. Well, you're headed into dry country. And I knew that because Meade County had been dry for years. You get out here on 31W and they come up here to Highway 60. They turn down Highway 60. Well, they sure ain't no beer joints that way. Come down, we come through Greyhampton, what used to be Greyhampton there. Just a little ways top of the hill there. There sits this house on the hill, a little hill nowhere out there. They pull in the driveway. What are we doing here? My aunt jumped out of the car. Said, I'll be right back. Went, knocked on the door, went on in. Come back out and had this young girl with her. Come out and got in the car and put her in the back seat back there between me and my aunt. My aunt looked at me and told me, she said, this is your date for the night. We never spoke two words all night. She didn't talk to me, and I didn't talk to her. Then we went back up the highway, went to a VFW club where they had everything planned. They had a band all going in the dance. I danced with my aunt and all. Didn't dance with my date. Things was over. Lasted about an hour and a half, 2 hours. They said, well, we might as well go home now. We'll let you rest because you've been traveling At that time, I had been traveling 30-some days. I had come across the Pacific through Panama Canal, up the Atlantic to New York, held a parade in New York, caught a train to Fort Knox, and then a bus from Fort Knox home. And I was tired. No, there's no doubt about it. I spent 30-some days on a boat. Anyway, but they ain't bringing this girl home. We go to Mom and Dad's house. Got in, we sat down. Dad fixed some coffee. Me and him had a cup of coffee. We were sitting there. Mom looked at me and told me, he said, young man, got a bed fixed down in the basement for you and Alice. This was that girl's name, Alice. Alice Thompson. I'm little Tommy's husband's sister. Said, there's a bed fixed down there for you and her. You sleep in your khaki pants and your t-shirt, and you keep your hands to yourself. Back then, they meant things like that. And you better listen. We was together 3 days that way. Still have very little even to say to each other. But things worked out to where we started growing closer together. In 12 days, we was engaged. I was due to report to Fort Hood, Texas. I had a 30-day leave, and I was to report there. We was married and on our way to Texas together. We was married within 20-some days. And we were married 35 years until she passed away. And God knew that I wasn't one to be by myself. I had children. They were still young. Most of them still at home. And he gave me another. And he done that by setting me up again. And the one he gave me, he used her mother to set me up. And that was done at the Senior Citizens in Brandenburg. I saw her on the dance floor. My daughters have been asking me, get out of the house. Dad, you need to go somewhere. Told them I didn't have nowhere to go. We had always done everything as a family. Without my wife and all, I just wasn't worried about going anywhere. Then she got friends after me. Kept on. And I figured, if I don't give in and at least go with them once, I ain't never going to get them off of my back. Well, I come with them, and I enjoyed that night, and I happened to know the band leader that played there. And they told me, said, we're going back tomorrow night. They was having a dance at that time, Senior Citizens, on Friday and Saturday. So, come back Saturday, but they called and told me, said, we'll have to meet you there, because we've got to make a stop on the way. They didn't show up. I'm sitting at a big table all by myself. Holds 8 people, and I'm the only one at that table. Right up front, sitting behind me were 6 women and 1 man. I'm sitting there watching the band. I was enjoying the music. Felt something hit the back of my hand, and I turned. This woman's standing there. She said, come on, dance with me. You can sit here for yourself. I got up and danced with her. Each one of the ladies come and got me. Had an older lady there. I found out later they were all family. And anyway, I went back on the next Friday. They had an extra one with them. Well, I danced with all the rest of them because I had danced with them before, knew them, or knew their names even. And I didn't dance with her. She'd tell you today I was shunning her. I wasn't. I just wasn't introduced to her, so I didn't dance with her. But I seen her up on the floor with one of the other women dancing. When my daughter got asked me to go out, I told her, I said, I ain't looking for no woman. I'm sitting there watching her dance with one of the other ladies. And the good Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, she is yours. I told him the same thing I told my daughter. I ain't looking for one. He said, she's yours. The second time. Well, I went back the next night. That Saturday night. She was with him. Well, I went and got her for the first dance. We come off of the floor, come by their table. She got all the things and just come on the table with me. 3 evenings together we were engaged. We met in June, and we was married on the 4th day of October on her birthday. The 4th day of this month, this month here, was her birthday and our wedding anniversary. We've been together 30 years. Her mother set us up, set me up. That's why she brought her. I told her, I said, Mom, you set me up. No, I did not. I told her, I said, Mom, you did, and you know you did. And I loved her mother, too. Her mother was a good lady. And she was good to me. When Mom got ready to pass away, I kept Mom, took care of Mom. I brought her to my house and took care of her until she passed away. But when God wants you to have something, he'll see there is a way to give it to you, just like he's talking about here. You see, we are to do things by God's time, not ours. He gave me both of my wives. And he set me up for both of them. I really didn't have no say about either one of them, but I loved both of them. He seen to that. And the one I've got now, I still love dearly. She don't know me. She hasn't known me now for 2 years. But it don't keep me from loving her. I go to see her. I take her chocolate milkshake just about every day. Every day I can get there. If I ain't got an appointment, doctor's appointment or something to keep me out, I'm there. I'm known by every worker there. They know me. They know who I'm there to see. And if I've got an appointment and I can't even stay, I'll take her milkshake to her. And I go to the door. When they come to open the door to let me in, I give them a shake. I'll tell them, you know who to give this to. Oh, yeah. I'll see if she gets it. No, I've got an appointment, so I can't stay. But God knows what he's doing. We don't sometimes. Sometimes it's on down the road a little ways before we know what is going on. But we are to do things the right way and to continue keep doing them that way. Paul was letting us know that his wish for man would be that they would be as he was, which was single, but he also knew that a lot of us couldn't live that way. Verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. He's talking to those that are widows and unmarried. It's good for them to stay single. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Now, he wasn't placing a whole, nothing very high on being married, was he? He's just placing it better than burning. Because we know, and today, statistics are, even in our churches, the divorce rate today among the married is 57% of all marriages fail, and they divorce, even in the church. And yet they're told not to do it. Now, we'll be getting to that here just very shortly. Verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I. He said, this is not me commanding this, but the Lord. The Lord's one commanding this. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. She is not to be married again. She is to stay single up to a point. Now, or be reconciled to her husband. She can go back to him if he'll take her back. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Even though she may not believe in God, you've married her, and you have no right to leave her, because she won't believe as you believe. But there's also a reason for that. And we'll be getting to that here. Now, and the woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. It don't mean that just because one or the other is sanctified, that the other will be, but they are in a place to work. It makes it a whole lot easier and more likely that they will be. But not all work that way. But you still have no right, because if you get rid of them, then you can't have another one as long as that one's living. So then you're going to have to stay single, and you're going to have to walk upright, because to go out here divorced and have sexual relations with other women is either fornication or adultery, depending on which is which. And sometimes it's both. Because you see, if you're still married, which just because you've divorced that one, You're supposed to stay single till she's gone. So if you're messing around, yours is adultery. But if you're messing with a single one, hers is fornication. So you got two instead of one. Two sins are going. But it's not being taught in our churches today. We got all kinds out here living together without being married. It's accepted in the church. A lot of them go to church. They're church members. And it's accepted in their church. And it's all right in the eyes of the church. No, it ain't in the eyes of God. It's an abomination unto him. And it'll send you to hell. Now, 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean. We've read that, and we took a bigger look at it. 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. When we talk about depart, we know that that's a technical term for divorce. That's all that is. And that word bondage means there is no conflict here between Paul's advice and that of our Lord. They're both the same. There's no conflict at all. You find some of it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. And the point is that the divine standard cannot be imposed on the unregenerated. There's nothing the believer can do but to submit to the divorce and the rules of it. Think about it. But look how many we got out here today. They're out here, they're in our pulpits, they've got two, three, or more wives. We all of us that are here right now, here inside, we all know one that had six wives. And one twice. Six. Now you can be forgiven for that. You can be forgiven for adultery. You can be forgiven for fornication. But you've got to quit it. You can't be forgiven for it and still live it. You've got to get out of that situation. Now, 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Because you see, if you are a child of God, and your husband or your wife is not saved, you continue on with your life as a born-again child of God, that will automatically bring her closer into the Word and with the Word than if you was to leave her. Because if you leave her, she's not going to hear, she's not going to see the situation, she's not going to have the understanding she's getting by watching, or he, by watching your life. With this next one, I'm going to close. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. This is to be in all churches, but it ain't today. In fact, you'll find the teaching of this is in very, very few of our churches today, because mankind don't want to hear it. Because for most of it, living in with fornication, a couple living together without being married, is accepted. Is believed it's all right, and that they're saved, they're born again. No, they ain't. Not until they rectify what they're doing. Now, if you've got two that are single, like my great-granddaughter, living in with her boyfriend. In fact, I had one moved in with hers. They lived together a year and a half. But I am thankful to God that they did rectify it and they got married. Because neither one of them had been married before. They were just young. And they finally did get married. I got another one right now that has moved in and living with her boyfriend. Right now, if they don't get things rectified and straightened out, they're both on their way to hell. And she can't say she don't know some better, because I have told her. Because like I said, I don't walk around you. And I don't walk around none of these subjects. Most of your churches will not teach this that I've just taught. They stay away from it. Because they don't want to come out and use the word sex in church. God used it in the Word, and He meant for me to use it, because I'm to share the Word, in all of the Word, not just what I like of it. No. There's a whole lot of it. I get on my toes as much as I get on anybody else's. That's the way I learn, is by getting on my toes. Sometimes it hurts. I get on it. But I'll get on it pretty heavy. Sometimes I think I stomp on it as He's teaching me. And I'm still learning things. I learn things all the time that I didn't know before. But I don't want to repeat them either. No. And that's what I pray and ask God for. Lord, don't let me repeat them. Let me know they're wrong so I don't do it again. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place to where we can come together to study and to share your word with each other, to be of help one to the other, because, Father, we are family, and we love you, Lord. We love your word, and, Father, I do love teaching it. Now, Father, be with us. Help us to walk according to your word, by your will and your way, and not ours. And your saints, wherever they are in the world, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them well, and see to all their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, because we know they're having very little peace. receiving rockets every day, things being destroyed, people being killed. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, help us to work, Father, to remove those from office that's against Jesus, that's against the church, that's against your people. Replace them with ones that will work with us, Father, work with the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him back into every place he's been taken out of. And help us to replace those in government, Father, with ones that will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And for our prayer list, Father, as each name is mentioned, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, Father, in great and mighty ways, to bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, myself, my wife, and all of our families, Father, we all stand in need of the Holy Spirit working in our families to help those, Father, that are in need of our families. Some that's in need of spiritual help, some that's in need of physical help, and Father, some that are in need of financial help. Now, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg. Father, these all stand in need. Let the Holy Spirit touch their need. Turn them, bring them closer, stronger, into the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, Jackie has been in sickness. May the Holy Spirit touch her and heal her, Father. And may things work according to your will and your way with those two, Father, and that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. All of these churches, Father, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. But not only lighthouses, fill them with the Holy Spirit and make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, touch them in a mighty and great way. Keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, Terry Johnson, we pray for him. May the Spirit work within him to turn him, Father. Turn him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring him close. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue and David Branson, Palin's Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen Lee. Father, these all stand in need of a touch. Some, Father, need a spiritual touch. Some needs a physical touch. Be with them now, Lord. Move them close. bring them in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to have strong faith. Walk upright to where they can all make heaven their home. Father, this church, do with it what you will. But Father, we are in need of a place to go to. And we only have a short time, Father. Be with us now. Lead us. Guide us. Put us where you want us, Father. And we ask this all in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right. Remember, now, God willing, we can all be together again Thursday evening. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great evening. Bye-bye now.